it has enlarged and grown on us. Been trying to preach through several different texts here in the book of Acts around the theme. And we'll bring it to a close tonight if the Lord will be our helper here in about 34 minutes. Y'all believe in miracles? Amen. Hallelujah. He could part the Red Sea. Amen. They said in the Word of God, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. We'll see. We'll see. Acts 14. Let's read just a few verses. As we've been studying these lame man, what we call the lame man miracles. Three of them in the book of Acts. And we come to the third one here in Acts 14. We're in the ministry in the days of Paul. The Bible said in verse number 8, Acts 14, verse number 8, "And there sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked." Let's continue to read. We'll focus mainly on those verses. The Bible said, "And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands on the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Saul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." We'll leave off our reading there. You can go ahead and be seated, and we'll pray here one more time. Heavenly Father, thank you again tonight for the Lord Jesus. We would humbly bow in prayer, Lord, to ask in mercies of your hand, Lord, in his name, that name above every name. I pray, Lord, for a few moments now as we study the Word of God. Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. Lord, we have tried to challenge our own heart and the heart of our church, Lord, in these matters, in these days, to take our walk with God serious, and Lord, to take our relationship with Christ to another level. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, you'd do the work of a challenge in our heart all over again. Lord, there may be some, Lord, tonight in our midst that are not saved. I would ask you, Lord, that by the power of the Spirit of the Lord, you'd reveal to them what their need is. And Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, you would work salvation into their life. And Lord, show them what their need is. Save them, Lord. Even tonight, we pray. And all that you do, we give you the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, we've been studying these matters of the lame man miracles. These three events in the book of Acts, two take place in the ministry of Peter, and the third, as we've read tonight, takes place in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. In each of these instances, there are men that are found to be lame on their feet. And the man there at the temple that Peter met in Acts chapter number 3, and the man that Peter would meet in Acts chapter number 9, one man, the first man, had been lame for 40 years. The man in Acts chapter number 9 had been lame for 8 years. And the man in our text before us tonight, we read, has been lame since he had came from his mother's womb. We're not given an amount of time that this man has been lame. We don't know if it if he's a young man or an old man, but however long he's lived, he has lived his life being lame. And in each of these instances, there is the appeal to each of the men that they would arise, that they would stand. And as Paul would say, we'll look at here in a moment, Paul said in this text, stand upright on thy feet. And so there is the call that these men would arise from a condition that no doubt they had tried to arise from many times. And yet in each of these cases, there is an element of faith. There is an element of an influence in their life in these particular events. And there is a response to the message that they would quit laying around, they would quit laying in a corner, and that they would arise to live life the way God intended for them to live. And there's no doubt in my mind each of these instances could be preached and application made to that of sinners. We understand that a sinner spiritually is lame, and that they cannot walk on their own two feet. And we could preach a lot about that, but it seems like the way the Lord has connected these things in our heart, that we're preaching through these to us that are saved in light of in each of these miracles, the call to arise and to stand, and the response to that when the miracle takes place is that there is a leaping, there is a running, and there is a walking of these men who in their own power could not do that. And there is a kicking it up, if you will. A man to leap, as is mentioned in this text, and in Acts chapter number 3, implies a jumping around, a kicking up of the feet. And no doubt if you've been laying 40 years or 8 years or even a few days that you've not been able to stand and walk and move, no doubt, amen, that would be impressive. In fact, I shared with some last Wednesday night after the service, as folk were leaving, we was talking about the thought that we've been given. And even you and I, if we was to be incapacitated some way without the ability to walk after a certain amount of time, if that was restored to us, it would take many weeks and some folk even months to learn how to walk all over again. And yet these men, when they receive this miracle, are immediately walking. They do not need physical therapy. They don't need, my friend, to go see a doctor. They don't have to go to a weight room and do training. These men immediately began to do something. And that, my friend, to be able to stand is a miracle itself. And yet it is by the power of God and the power of the Holy Ghost that these men are immediately able to be upright and to be progressing through life. And so we're looking at these instances in Peter and Paul's ministry and their influence in these lame men's life. It is though they are telling these men it's time to kick it up a notch. And that's been our thought and our thing through the month on Wednesday night, studying these miracles. And so tonight we're preaching again on it's time to kick it up a notch. It's time to kick it up a notch. Spiritually, we're looking at this man tonight as a child of God. And when we come to this text, amen, it's time for him to quit laying around. It's time for him to quit depending on everybody else to carry him through life. And Paul looking at him and perceiving that this man, amen, he's now been brought to a time that he needs to stand upright and progress through life on his own to a greater degree than what he's known, is my friend Paul saying it's time to kick it up a notch. And many in our day need to kick it up a notch. And as I've said, amen, since we preached this at Brother Leland Fraser several weeks back, amen, Brother Fraser said some of us need to kick it up two or three notches. And so, amen, that may be so of you and or me tonight. But it is time to kick it up a notch. Many, amen, have laid around too long. Many have been on the same spiritual level and plateau now for months and weeks and maybe years and decades. And And so we're challenging ourselves through these stories tonight. Amen. Then it's time for us to kick it up a notch. It's time to quit being spiritually lame and depending on everybody else to carry us through our spirituality. And a few observations I made quickly out of verse number 8 about this man here in this text in his condition. I see the discovery of this man's condition. And the Bible said in verse number 8, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra." A certain man at Lystra. A certain man, the Bible said. And so we find here that he was unnamed and he was, by all accounts, overlooked by all those that are around him. They've gotten used to him being lame. They've gotten used to stepping over him. They've gotten used to moving around him, and the chaos maybe he creates by being around. He is just a certain man. He has no name. He has no identity other than he is a certain man. And no doubt because of his condition and because of his lack of productivity, he's just dependent on everybody else. And now he has reached a place in life. He is simply a certain man. But I think tonight if this story was to teach us anything, it is this, that God is interested in this kind. He may be a lame man. He may be a man. He may not be productive to anybody around him. But the Lord is interested in him. And the Lord is going to send a child of God and a preacher by his way, amen, to cause him to kick it up a notch. And so I call this the discovery of this man's condition. Amen, when others did not see anything in this man, and when others do not see anything in us, more than what we are, may I say tonight, that God sees what we can be if we will respond to His Word and respond to His working in our life, and God will discover us where we are. In fact, amen, He may have been a certain man to Paul. He may have been a certain man, amen, to those in Lystra, but God knew where this man was, and God knew what this man's condition was. And can I remind you tonight, you may put on a good show, amen, you may say all the right things, but amen, if I know anything about God, God knows where we are with Him tonight. And God knows if we're lame spiritually tonight, amen, and God has a way of discovering to you and I, amen, exactly what we are. In fact, amen, the discovery of this man's condition. The Bible said a certain man, amen, at Lystra. At Lystra, Lystra, I won't bog down here too long, but you'll find that Lystra, and it's even implied in the text, it was a religious city of great superstition. And I read some things in my study about Lystra. Man, you talk about some fruitcakes, man. And they had believed that many, many years they had legends that Zeus and Jupiter had come down and visited them. And nobody received them except this man, Philemon, and his wife. Her name starts with a B. I couldn't pronounce it if I tried. And how that they were the only ones that received the gods in their home, and how that, amen, the gods bestowed favor on them and built a temple out of their home, and they became a priest and a priestess, and many years later a flood came by and the gods spared their home, and then when they died they became trees, and I'm telling you, man, fruitcakes. They were fruitcakes. Amen. But they had a religious system. They were dedicated to that religious system. And Lystra and all that took place there. And yet, may I put it this way, this man, though he's living around religion, the religion this man was influenced by, and the religion that this man himself no doubt had been exposed to and practicing, It did nothing for him in his condition. His religion was meaningless. And can I say, amen, it doesn't matter if your religion, my friend, is a bunch of fruitcakes. I believe Zeus came down and planted trees with the souls of men. Amen. And that's your religion, or you're sitting on the independent fundamental Baptist church pew with God's word in your hand. Amen. If you're not careful, you become dedicated to a religious system. And my friend, that religion in itself will do nothing for you. And so this man represents so many that have been exposed to some sort of religion. And my friend, practicing by dedication some religion. And may I say, the Lord would discover this man. Amen. The Lord would discover this man, and in doing so, He would let this man discover that at through Christ there is a better way. And tonight, as we consider this man a picture, and I understand probably, amen, this case more than the previous two, amen, is likened to that of a sinner man, but as a saint that is lame and needs to kick it up a notch, amen, may I say tonight, amen, when we fall prey to just the mundane of religion and the formalities of religion, and we check the time sheet on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and yet somehow in our heart God opens up a way to reveal to us and discover in our life, amen, that it's been a while since we've kicked it up a notch. And my friend, God knows where we are, and God will reveal that, amen, to us. And so the discovery of this man's condition, amen, consider the disability of this man's condition. And this brings us to really what we've been emphasizing all month long in the matter of being lame. This text here describes this man and his disability, that he is impotent on his feet. Impotent means unable. It means a state of weakness. It describes an impossible to overcome condition. Amen. And again, I believe this man, I don't know how long you've been lame. Amen. Obviously, since he was born, the Bible said, but this man, no doubt, he's tried to move his feet. He's tried to do it in his own strength. He's tried to do it in his own power. He's tried to replicate what he's seen so many others around him do. And yet, my friend, he is absolutely unable and weak to do it in the power of his own flesh. Amen. The Bible plainly calls this man a cripple who never had a walk. It describes a man that had no advancement or forward progress. And so what we're preaching tonight in these lame man miracles is that spiritual disability that can be in our lives, where, my friend, we're trying to do things in the power of the flesh. We're trying to do it just mimicking what we see others do. And yet, my friend, we're not progressing and advancing in the life that Christ saved us to live. And that is a spiritual disability we can have, amen, that we need the Lord to discover in our life. The duration of this man's condition, and then we'll dive in the text and thoughts I want to give you tonight. Amen, but the duration of this man's condition, notice, amen, the Bible said here that and he being a cripple from his mother's womb. I don't know what time length that is, but the fact is, this man had been given life. This man, in fact, I wrote it down this way. He had been this way since he was born. There was a birth in his life. There was a conception. There was a delivery. Amen. He had been given life, but was not able to enjoy it abundantly. And we understand that no man gets saved without a spiritual birth. And we also understand that Christ said, "And I'm come that you might have life." That comes in the new birth. Amen. But Christ didn't just come to give us life. Amen. Christ said, "And that you might have it more abundantly." And so, my friend, you can be saved. You, amen, you can be saved. You can have been born spiritually. Amen. But I wonder tonight if you've ever known what it is, amen, to enjoy the abundant life that the Lord has saved us and give us life to have. Amen. He had life, but He had no living. He had life, but He had no living. And so being saved, we're given life. Amen. But we're to take that life and let Christ and the Spirit of the Lord work in our life and at times kick it up a notch. Amen. Where we not only have life, but we know what it is to have living. And so the duration of this man's condition. Ivor Powell said these lame man miracles. Amen. They beg of us to answer the question, can a man be born again and be spiritually lame? And I believe the answer is yes. Amen. That you can and I can, if we're not careful, be saved and have life and have the expectation of heaven when we die. And yet, my friend, reach a spiritual plateau and lameness and a condition whereby we need to be challenged, amen, by the power of Christ and the Holy Ghost, and we kick it up a notch. It's time to kick it up a notch. Notice three things in this text, and I'll be done here real quickly. Amen, that miracle ain't looking so good. Amen, watch this now. I see here in this text, amen, in this story, I see the entrance of the man of God. The entrance of a man of God. And we've been preaching through these miracles. And we've talked a lot about influence and the influence of God's people. Amen. And no doubt Paul was one of God's people. But when I think about Paul, amen, I think of a preacher. I'm not saying Peter wasn't one. He was one at. Amen. He was a fine preacher. Amen. Amen. But when I think about Paul, I think about a real man of God. And so I find in this text that this man has been lame. Amen. But we find there's a day when a man of God enters into his vicinity. There's a man of God that, my friend, he doesn't come giving tear-jerking stories. He doesn't come making an emotional appeal. He is a man of God that enters into Lystra and enters into the life circle of this lame man. And it is by the ministry of the man of God, Paul, that this man, amen, is going to be able to kick it up a notch. And so can I say tonight in regard to this text, in regard to our thought, and if we're going to ever kick it up a notch, we must, amen, enter into a right relationship with the man of God in our life. Amen. There's going to require some things in that relationship. Amen. If we are ever going to kick it up a notch, I'm not preaching this, you know me. Amen. We've got some new folk around, so let me just say it. Amen. I'm not preaching this to be self-serving. This is not about Ledbetter. It's about what God does in regards to the spiritual work He has designed and desires to do in our life. And so what God does in our life, He's going to do through the men of God and through preachers that He calls to minister into our life. And so the entrance of a man of God. The entrance of a man of God. Amen. Listen here. Amen. In verse number 9, the Bible said, this lame man, in verse number 8, the same heard Paul speak. He heard Paul speak. Amen. And so when I think about the entrance of a man of God, amen, I think about the ministry of his message. I think about the influence of what he is speaking and what he is teaching and what he is preaching. There was something this lame man heard. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Amen. And there's something that when Paul walks into his little world and begins to preach, there is something that he is drawn to that he says, I ain't heard preaching like this before. I've never had anything connect to my heart and to my life and to my condition like that this man Paul is preaching. And so it is an influence in his life. A few things I wrote down about the entrance of a man of God. A man Paul is here, the same heard. He heard Paul speak. Amen. Paul wasn't there the day before. And Paul wasn't there, amen, a year ago. But Paul was there on this day. And so I wrote this down. Amen. I call it the providence of Paul's entrance. The providence of Paul's entrance. You say, what do you mean? Notice with me, and we won't take time to go through all of it. I'll just reference it quickly. But in verses 1 through 7, you'll find that Paul has made his way into a place called Iconia. And in Iconium, Paul is going to preach and Paul is going to minister. The Bible said in verse number 2 that while being there, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. And so Paul is a man of God, had entered into Iconium, he's preaching there, he's having an influence on people's lives, and then there's some people that don't like what Paul is preaching. They don't like what Paul is standing for, they don't appreciate the lines that Paul has drawn in the sand, and so what do? They begin to talk about, amen, what they don't like, they stir up the minds of the brethren, and affect them evilly or negatively against the man of God, so much so that Paul begins to be persecuted and is driven out of the city. Amen. But the mark of a real man of God, he doesn't let that stop it. Amen. It may break his heart. It may, amen, limit his ministry in that place and in those that will not receive it. But a real man of God will do what Paul did. Amen. And he'll go right on and find somebody else that he can preach to. And so it is by providence that God through, amen, the ministry of Paul brings him to what verse number 6 said, they were aware of it. Amen. Speaking about the despiteful, amen, way and the stoning and the persecution that, amen, was getting ready to rise in Iconium. They were aware of it. And fled to where? They fled unto Lystra. And when they get to Lystra, what did Paul do? The Bible said there, verse 7, they preached the gospel. And so we find that there is the providence of his entrance. Amen. Can I say tonight? Amen. It is a providential thing that, amen, when we are lame and we've hit that spiritual plateau, and but Jerry, it is a providential thing that God will let a man of God get up in front of us and begin to preach exactly what we need in that hour. Amen. And so this is not something to be taken lightly. Brother Mike, this is not by accident. Amen. Nobody told Paul this man was there. Amen. Nobody told Paul what this man's condition was. Nobody told Paul what this man needed. Amen. He just showed up in the will of God with the word from God. And thank God it was a providential entrance and affecting this lame man in his condition. And so sometimes a man of God will get up and preach. Amen. And you would swear that your wife told that man of God, amen, where you were spiritually. And a man of God would get up sometimes and preach. And, amen. You would just absolutely think that your husband had sat down and told it. Amen. What sad spiritual shape you were in. Amen. But that's not the case at all. Amen. I've had folk accuse me of all sorts of things. Hey, you're preaching at me. You're in my business. Somebody told you everything I was doing. Amen. The only one I talk to is the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there is something, amen, to be appreciated when a man of God, amen, by providence begins to address a spiritual lameness and needs of our life. Amen. That's a pretty good thought, ain't it? The providence of his entrance. Notice with me, of the preaching at his entrance. Again, Paul did not come making some emotional appeal. Paul doesn't come after him with telling jokes and trying to draw a crowd in based upon entertainment value. Amen. The verse 7 again simply said, amen, that when Paul got there they preached the gospel. They preached the gospel. That just simply means that when Paul got there, he's preaching the word of God. Yeah, man, he's just giving the word of God. And so when Paul's a preaching, the Bible said in verse number 9, the same, what did he do? He heard Paul speak. He heard, that word heard implies that he was not just casually listening, but that there was something that caught his attention. He was hanging on to every word Paul was saying. He wanted my friend to get something out of the message that day. And so the same heard Paul speak. The same heard Paul speak. Ain't you glad? Amen. For the preaching of a man of God. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. When I need to kick it up a notch and I need to elevate my life spiritually, amen, you know what I've learned in these near 25 years of being saved? Amen. Is that I don't need some man to tell me how good I am. I don't need some man to tell me it's okay to be lame and you just do the best you can. Amen. No, friend, and to be honest with you, and I like all sorts of styles of preaching. I am what I am. Amen. It comes out of me like it does. Amen. I like all sorts of kinds of preaching. Amen. So long as it's Bible preaching. Amen. When Paul come, I promise you he didn't come, amen, trying to make intellectual appeals. He wasn't speaking, my friend, great swelling words in faith. Amen. Paul gives us insight into his preaching ministry. He didn't come to preach to please men. Amen. When he got up to preach, Brother Larry, Paul said the Galatians, amen, should I seek to please God or men? He said, if I would seek to please men, he said, I should not be called the servant of Christ. And so this is a man of God. And the characteristic of a man of God is that when you hear him preach, he's not trying to make you feel good. Amen. He's trying to give you what you need. That don't mean he's a jerk about it. That don't mean he's trying to make you mad. I've heard some preachers, amen, if I was a betting man, I would say they're trying to make somebody mad. Amen. That's not the characteristic of a man of God, but a man of God that'll simply get up and preach what thus saith the Lord. He won't water it down. He won't sweeten it up. Amen, but he just gives the word of God to men in the condition in which he finds them. The preaching of his entrance. Preaching. Can I say tonight, if you are going to kick it up a notch, you'll have to have some preaching. Amen, there's no other way. There's no other way. Amen, this man received no miracle until he received preaching. This man received no upward and forward progress until he was willing, amen, to sit down and hear what Paul had to say. Amen, amen. This man been lame a long time. Amen, he could have stayed in that shape. Amen, he could have stayed in that shape, Brother Gerald. He could have stayed in that shape, but you know what made the difference? Amen. He began to hear things in a way that he had never heard them before. And instead of sitting there milking his chin saying, well, I ain't never heard that before. And I don't agree with that. And so I'm going to let that go in one ear and out the other. Amen. No, this man listened intently. And this man listened with purpose. And this man listened to preaching. And through that preaching, he's going to be able to kick it up a notch. The providence, let me just end this point and I'll be done. My My voice is done. Y'all pray for me. I'm struggling in recent weeks. Amen. The providence and the preaching at his entrance. Amen. Let me say a word about the perception in his entrance. Amen. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. And so we're dealing with the thought of the entrance of a man of God. And we see his providence, the providence of his entrance in the preaching. And while Paul is preaching, this man is listening. And all of a sudden, the man of God listened. The lame man's eyes are open to the fact that he needs what the man of God is saying. He needs the preaching of the man of God. And while that is going on, the Holy Ghost then begins to open the eyes of the man of God that this man is in a place where he's finally going to be able to kick it up a notch. Amen. And in Acts chapter number 3, that lame man, amen, he saw Peter and John, and he cried out to them in the same instance that, as we preached over the last few weeks, we found that Peter and John did the same thing. Amen. They weren't willing to, as it were, waste their time on somebody that my friend was not going to kick it up a notch. And so Paul here, while he's preaching, he is gazing, and his eyes fall upon this man who is a lame man. And so Paul, before he gives the personal appeal and challenge and invests himself in this lame man, the Bible said plainly, amen, that he steadfastly beholding him. Amen. And as he was looking him up and down, looking him up and down, what is he doing? Paul is making a discernment. Amen. And one of the things, and many folk don't understand this, and I don't know how they can understand it other than by faith, that as men of God, a man of God, amen, God gives him spiritual discernment about, and I'm not talking about super duper superstitious stuff, amen, but God gives that man of God either through experience or by the Holy Ghost spiritual discernment and perception to know he's ready to kick it up a notch. Amen. And so, amen, sometimes men of God, their ministry, their entrance into others' lives, it can have no effect. And sometimes men of God get blamed for, amen, the effects and they're not having an effect. I can say this, Brother Joe, I'm sure can give public testimony tonight. Amen, I have had people literally in letters and to my face blame me for their lack of spirituality. As though I were, amen, the linchpin, amen, to it all. Paul, listen, Paul is preaching. And Paul is willing to give anybody a chance that, amen, is listening. But he's not going to flippantly pour out his influence and investment in people's lives. And so what does he do? He steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Amen. This word steadfastly beholding. Amen. Watch this now. It means this. It means to gaze or strain intently. Amen. It means he looked him over real good, Brother Larry. People don't like a man of God looking at their life. They don't like a man of God examining them. Yeah, I don't believe he's ready. No, he ain't ready to straighten up yet. Yep, there's one right there. Amen. And people don't want to subject themselves to that kind of scrutiny. Amen. A There were days gone by, buddy. Amen. This church had a man of God for 40 years, and Doc Wells, he is a real man of God and had discernment on his life. And these people didn't like that. Amen. And said, we ain't putting up with that. And you know what they did? You know what they did? I'm not saying they're not saved. Some of them may not be. Amen. Y'all alive? I'm done. I'm just meddling now. Some of them probably are saved, but you know what they do? They cut their own spiritual legs off. They'll never kick it up a notch till they're willing to let the man of God perceive where they are spiritually. Amen. And they'll try to cover up their lame legs. Amen. They'll try, my friend, to do all they can to look normal and look right. And I'm okay. Just leave me alone. But buddy, I'm telling you, till you're willing to let the man of God perceive and steadfastly behold your life. Amen. I'm thinking of men of God. And I can remember even before I got saved, but Joe that would come by and preach. They was some men, they just come by, they were just preachers. Nothing wrong with that. They were just preachers, and they could preach. Brother Gerald, I remember some of them men of God come by. Amen. And you would almost wonder, that man can see everything in my heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Since I've been saved, there have been men that God has brought into my life that when I got around them, there was such a reverence. There's men still that when they get around my life, I began to have to open my life up to them and let them view me and let them preach to me and let them help me. Say, why do you do that? We're to be our own man. We believe in the priesthood of every believer. Believe in that. You don't have to let a man of God do it. But I promise you this, you'll never kick it up a notch. You'll never go to another level than where you are tonight without letting a man of God scrutinize your life. Amen. I'm not talking about being a bully. I'm not talking about being a lord over God's people. I'm talking letting him be the spiritual authority God intended him to be. Brother Joe, according to this text, I believe Paul only invested himself in that man when he realized that man had faith to be healed. He seen faith in him. He seen something in him that Paul said, God can do something for this man, and God will use the life and ministry he's called me to do it for him. Amen. But had that man had no faith, had Paul not seen any faith, do you think this miracle would be in the Bible? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you'll never kick it up a notch if your relationship is not right with the man of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, again. Lord, we didn't make it real far. Lord, we're kind of shot in the voice. Lord, I pray you take these few little truths and, Lord, use them tonight. Lord, in our own church. And Lord, we got some things, Lord, later in this text. Lord, I guess maybe we'll be in it next week one more time. Lord, things we're excited to present to your people. Lord, we believe can help them. So, Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, you do some great, great things for us. Lord, help us. We acknowledge tonight in the power of our flesh, we cannot kick it up a notch. Lord, you have provided, Lord, through the Word, Lord, not only spiritual means, but, Lord, tangible means. Lord, through men of God and your Word in our hand. Lord, we can. Lord, through the people of God and their influence, spiritual people in our life. Lord, we can kick it up a notch. So help us, Lord, to lay hold of that challenge and, Lord, to let you work in our life. And all you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.